From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. There's been a lot of talk this year about the legacy of slavery. It's even made it into the Democratic presidential race.
We need to recognize that when it comes to the economic gap between blacks and whites in America, it does come from a great injustice that has never been dealt with. That great injustice has had to do with the fact that there was 250 years of slavery, followed by another 100 years of domestic terrorism.
People aren't starting out on the same base in terms of their ability to succeed. And so we have got to recognize that and give people a lift up.
I have long believed that this country should resolve its original sin of slavery, and that one of the ways we should consider doing that is through reparations for people who are the descendants of slaves.
After the Civil War, freedmen were promised 40 acres and a mule. That never happened. And many of the black farmers who did buy or inherit land have lost it. Earlier this year, the Center for American Progress reported that black farmers lost 80% of their land between 1910 and 2007. A big part of that loss? The USDA discriminated against them, refusing to give black farmers the same loans they were giving white people. Eddie Wise told us he experienced that in a story we first aired 2 years ago. He dreamed of owning a farm. His father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather were all sharecroppers. Eddie was 18 and working in the tobacco field when an Army recruiter showed up and asked who wanted to join up.
And I raised both hands and said, "Here I come."
When he walked off that farm, he made himself a vow.
I said, "The next time I'm on a farm, I'm going to be owning that bad boy. I'm not working on a farm for nobody else."
Eddie finally got his farm after spending years in the military, including a stint in Vietnam. But several years ago, he lost the farm. He says it's because the U.S. Agricultural Department discriminated against him. John Biewen of the podcast Scene on Radio investigated what happened.
So, what's the day today?
Today is the... what? I don't know.
I think it's the 20th.
Today is January 20th, Wednesday.
January 20th, 2016, 8:40 a.m. I've just arrived at Eddie Wise's farm. It's a small 106-acre hog operation on rolling land near Rocky Mount, North Carolina. The driveway bends around a grove of trees leading to the mobile home where Eddie lives with his wife, Dorothy. I've driven out this morning because Eddie called and said something was about to go down. I've just turned on my recorder. We're talking when one of Eddie's dogs interrupts, announcing the arrival of the expected guests.
Well, let's walk on up this way.
And here they come around that curve. White SUVs and squad cars, 7 vehicles in all. Officers spill out. I count 14 men and women, mostly U.S. Marshals, with a few county deputies as backup. Some of the marshals carry semi-automatic rifles.
Come on down.
Why
are
they doing this morning, sir?
My dogs don't bite.
Sir?
I said, my dogs don't bite.
A U.S. Marshal, the leader of the operation, approaches Eddie and presents the papers.
Deputy Coney with the Marshal Service. You obviously know what's going on. Okay.
I know you all. Okay.
Yes, sir. There's a foreclosure judgment that's been issued against you and a seizure ordinance. So we're going to have to remove you from your residence this morning, and there are certain items that are going to be taken. Okay.
My wife is sick.
Okay. Well, we'll work with you and give you a reasonable amount of time, but you are going to have to get your wife and vacate the premises this morning, sir. Okay. And there's items we're going to be seizing on your property. There's a full list in here, and this copy is for you.
Eddie takes the document and studies it. He has a round face and a farmer's thick hands. He's still a formidable presence at 72 years old.
What's wrong with your wife this morning? I mean, what is your wife suffering from?
My wife is suffering from 3.5 years of stress.
Understand that.
Eddie was told the marshals would be coming to seize his farm equipment because he hadn't made payments on his government loan. But he says he didn't know he and Dorothy would be evicted today.
So I'm supposed to take my wife and just walk off?
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, that's the order from the court. Okay. Do you have any weapons in the house, sir?
Of course I have weapons in the house. I'm on the farm.
I understand that. It's just a question I have to ask.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a retired Green Beret.
I understand that as well, sir. And yeah, I appreciate your service. Can we walk in with you? Or we walk up here with you? I just want to make sure Everything's fine. I'll let you get your wife. We're not going to interfere with you getting your wife by any means. Okay. But we do need to walk in with you.
In the past, when dealing with USDA officials, Eddie's been known to get angry and threaten violence. But this day, he's calm and polite.
But until that time, we have to go forward, Mr. Wise.
Yes, sir. I have a major problem.
The armed marshals follow Eddie into his mobile home.
After you, sir, your residence.
Inside, the marshals secure Eddie's weapons.
So the rifle right there and the pistol right there, have you got any more guns in the house?
Yeah, I got a shotgun right behind the door.
Can we get that one too?
Eddie wakes Dorothy. She has diabetes and can't walk well. Once she's dressed, Eddie will have to help her to the car. An hour later, evicted from their farm and home of 20 years, they sit in their car in a church parking lot across the road. Eddie's in the front seat, Dorothy's in back.
Brown sugar.
Yeah.
You're sounding okay. It's gonna be all right, babe. We're gonna just have to figure out where we're gonna stay and what we're gonna do.
I asked Dorothy what she's thinking and feeling.
I don't feel anything because I'm just going along with what Eddie was saying and what was happening to us.
Yeah.
I don't approve of it, but what can we do at this point?
As we sit in the quiet of the car and talk, a truck pulling a stock trailer pulls out of the farm road, maybe 50 yards from us, and drives away, carrying away dozens of hogs.
There goes the pigs. There goes the stock trailer. Mm-hmm.
That night, the couple would find a room at a low-cost motel. I met the Wises almost 10 years ago. I was working on a documentary about family farmers. I visited their place a bunch of times, recording as they went about their days and as Eddie worked with their small herd of 250 hogs.
Eddie! Oh!
That's Dorothy in the farmyard.
Where are you?
Here in the burning house.
Dorothy tells Eddie in a mock scolding voice to live up to his last name.
Be wise. Well, I think the most wise thing that I did was seeing this foxy lady walking down the hallway at Howard University and got to know her. And later on, made her my wife.
The couple met in 1988 in Washington, D.C.
The Army sent me to Howard University to teach. I was teaching the military science department. Air mobile operations, rappelling, jumping, air assaults. She was a grant manager for the College of Medicine. She said, the Spirit of the Lord told me that the man that come in my life would bring everything. She said, I've wanted a farm all my life. So I told her, I said, you're kidding me.
He told me he was going to a farm.
And I said, don't let this three-piece suit fool you. I'm on my way home to North Carolina to find a farm right now. I said, I'm going to Wilson, North Carolina to pick blueberries this weekend.
So I said, okay.
She said, let me get my hat.
So I got my hat, put it on, and we drove down there and picked blueberries all day long.
And, I mean, it's been a roll ever since this. And we've been married, what, 16 years now?
So, life to me can be very enjoyable if you have somebody with you that you constantly can communicate with and you enjoy them and they enjoy you. And you will help them no matter what you have to do.
But in 2016, the U.S. government would take the Wises' farm and run them off.
So how did that end up happening? The Wises claim that government officials discriminated against them for over 25 years and set them up to fail.
Back in the day, white loan officers would loan money to people they know that said, we need some money. And then when we as blacks went in to ask, they would say, well, all the money is gone.
Reporter John Bewin picks up their story when we come back, on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.